Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 19, text number 15.
Tanna prabhotvam kulaverapitam. Tanna prabhotvam kulaverapitam. Tvanmaya yaham mamatam adokshaja. Tvanmaya yaham mamatam adokshaja. Vinyaman yena shu vayam sudubidam. Vinyama yena shu vayam sudubidham. Videhi jogam tvaina svabhavamiti. Videhi jogam tvaina svabhavamiti. Tanna prabhotvam kukalaverapitam. Tvanmayayam aham mamatam adokshaja. Vinyama yena shu vayam sudubitam. Videhi jogam tvaina svabhavamiti. Tanna prabhotvam kukalaverapitam. Tvanmayayaham mamatam adokshaja. Vinyamanina su vayam sudubidam. Videhi jogam tvaina svabhavamiti. Tanna prabhotvam kukalaverapitam. Tvanmaya yaham mamatam adokshaja. Vinyamanyasu vayam sudubitam. Videhi jogam tvaina svabhavamiti. Tanna prabhotvam kukalaverapitam.
Ladies.
Tanna prabhotvam kukalaverapitam. Tvanmaya yaham mamatam adokshaja. Vinyam yena shu vayam sudubidam. Videhi jogam tvaina svabhavamiti. tanna prabhutvam kukalevara pitam tammaya maya ham mamatam adokshaja Vinyama yena shu vayam subhubitam Pidehi yogam tvayena svamiti. Tat, therefore, na, our, Prabho, O my Lord, Tvam, you, kukalevara apitam, invested in this bad body, full of stool and urine. Tvat mayaya, by your illusory energy. Aham mamatam, the conception of I and my. Adhokshaja, O transcendence, bindyama, may give up, yena, by which, ashu, very soon, vayam, we, sudubidam, which is very difficult to give up, videhi, please give, yogam, the mystic process, tvayi, unto you, na, our, svabhavam, which is symptomized by a steady mind, iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, O Lord, O Transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute Bhakti Yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction responsively. Therefore, O Lord, O Transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute Bhakti Yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction. Purport. The Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Mam mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. The perfect yoga system consists of always thinking of Krishna, always engaging in devotional service, always worshipping Krishna, and always offering obeisances unto Him. Unless we practice this yoga system, our illusory attachment for this bad body, which is full of stool and urine, is impossible to give up. The perfection of yoga consists of giving up attachment for this body and bodily relationships and transferring that attachment to Krishna. We are very attached to material enjoyment, but when we transfer that same attachment to Krishna, we traverse the path of liberation. One has to practice this yoga system and none other. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Buddhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskacharya Jitarane Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled The Island of Jambudvip. This is the fifth canto, chapter 19. In the beginning of this chapter, Sugadeva Goswami is quoting the prayers and the thoughts of Hanuman, Sri Hanuman Ji. And here, as a follow-up to those verses concerning what Hanuman said, Sugadeva Goswami is continuing to elaborate on many different subjects, but the subject of this particular verse is clearly a subject of becoming detached from this material body and becoming attached to Krishna. So, the verse reads again that, therefore, O Lord, O Trinity, kindly give us help. Kindly help us by giving us the power to execute devotional service, bhakti yoga, so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy, therefore we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction. So, the prayer is for the benediction of receiving the power to execute bhakti yoga. So, what is that power? What gives us the power, the determination to execute the process of devotional service? There is two factors. One is jnana and one is vairag. Knowledge and renunciation. There's one purport earlier in the Bhagavad Gita where Srila Prabhupada mentions that without knowledge, it is impossible to renounce sense gratification. Without knowledge. So the first step in devotional service, or to in acquiring the power to execute devotional service is that we have to have some knowledge. We have to know the difference between spirit and matter. What is the difference between the body and the soul? So the very first lesson of the Bhagavad Gita is that we are not this body. And knowledge that we are not this body gives us the determination to renounce the body. This jnana and vairag. So as Srila Prabhupada states that without knowledge, you cannot, if you don't know why it's bad, if you don't know how it's bad, how you can give it up? Just like many people don't seem to realize that the body is simply a bag of stool and urine. If you get the most beautiful body in the world and take off one layer of skin from the bag, you take off one layer, it will appear to be something very horrible. It will be a pink color and with like a red color, pink and red and like blood. So it will be, it will actually resemble a stool bag. But when you put a nice glossy skin on the body to cover the stool and the urine, it appears to be something actually quite attractive. But in fact, it's just a stool bag in disguise. That's all it is. The materialists don't like to hear this. They like to hear that the body is something to be glorified, is something to be cherished. So the first step in attaining the power to execute bhakti yoga is knowledge that this material world is not a nice place and that we are not the body. This is the number one lesson. But the identification with the body, the attachment for the body, the attachment with those things that are connected to the body, all these things, all these attachments are very, very strong. So the system of Vanashram Dharma is to gradually diminish that attachment, is to gradually wind it down. This is the external system of Vanashram Dham. The Daivi Vanashram Dham, where everybody surrenders to Krishna, is to speed up the process of becoming detached from the body and becoming attached to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated earlier, etat samtuchitam brahmans tapachaya chikitsitam judisvare bhagavati brahma kamani bhavitam. That etat samtuchitam brahman tapachaya chikitsitam. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the only remedial measure for removing all troubles and anxieties is to dedicate one's activities to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Etat samsuchitam brahmams. Tapatraya chikitsitam. Tapatraya means the threefold miseries of material existence. Chikitsitam means remedial measure. It is the only remedial measure for removing tapatraya chikitsitam. What is this tapatraya chikitsitam? Tapatraya. Tapatraya is the threefold miseries of the material existence, adi atmik, adi bhautik, and adi daivik. It is stated that the threefold miseries are always piercing us like a trident. One is adi atmik, one is adi bhautik, and one is adi daivik. And it's like a trident that pierces us and constantly gives us suffering in this material world. Adiyatmik, the miseries that are attaining to the body. Adibhautik, the miseries that are attained to other living entities. And Adidaivik, the miseries that are inflicted upon us by the devas. So these threefold miseries of material existence, of course, the measure with which we get that is according to our karma. Some people suffer, some people suffer less, and some people suffer hardly at all, and some people suffer tremendously according to their karma. So how to the prayer in this verse, or the desire that's being expressed in this beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami is, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute Bhakti Yoga. So where do we get the power? The power comes from Guru Kripa Kevalam, by the mercy of the Guru. Guru Kripa Kevalam. Only by the mercy of Krishna can one get Guru, and only by the mercy of Guru can one get Krishna. So we need to get the mercy of Guru with the blessings of Guru and with the blessings of Vaishnavas, we get the power to execute Bhakti Yoga. So in addition to cultivating knowledge that we are not this body, that this body is a bag of stool and urine, and being determined to give up the desire for sense gratification, vishaya charya, se rasa majya, muke bole hari hari, that one can get the mercy of Krishna very easily if we give up the desire for sense gratification. So long as we desire, maintain the desire for sense gratification, we cannot get the mercy of Krishna. And so, knowledge is required. We require the mercy of Guru. And we also require renunciation. So, renunciation means we have to renounce sense gratification. There is legitimate sense gratification and there is illegitimate sense gratification. In devotional service, in pure devotional service, the only legitimate sense gratification is that we eat what we need to serve Krishna. We sleep what we need to serve Krishna, eating and sleeping, only in as much as that it is required in the service of Krishna, no more and no less. But when the same eating and sleeping is embarked upon for sense gratification, then we lose the power to execute bhakti. So, it is stated that giving up sense gratification starts with the tongue. That first of all, by controlling the tongue, vajravegam, manasakradavegam, vajravegam, the tongue, the urges of the tongue, is actually very difficult to control. There's that prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the senses are all networks of path leading to death. This material body is a lump of ignorance. And all the senses are networks of paths leading to death. And the leader of all the senses is the tongue. So therefore, it is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivara lalase iti yodidai, Krishna Shishnu dada parayana Krishna mahipai. Jivara, Jivara Lalase, Iti Udhidai, Shishnudada Parayana Krishna Nahipai. That person who Jivara Lalase Iti Utidai, running here and there, who runs, not walking, but running. He's running after his tongue. Shishnudada Parayana, and that he is devoted to the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. Krishna Nahipai, cannot get the mercy of Krishna. So, we have to control the tongue. The tongue is the first business. We should not overeat or undereat. We should not talk prajapam. We should, once the tongue is under control, all the other senses are very easy to control. So, Vishayacharya, that giving up the desire for sense gratification begins with the tongue. And therefore, I can say that one realization that I have personally had is that eating foodstuff which is cooked by non-Vaishnavas, eating junk food destroys the control of your tongue. You will not be able to control the tongue if we eat that food which is not offerable to Krishna. Grains that have been cooked by karmis is not offerable to the deity. If we stick to that one principle of being very careful about what we eat and not eating, I'm just saying this from my personal realization, and not eating junk food, then the tongue becomes 100 times more easy to control. And when we eat that food, which is prepared by karmis, with the enjoying spirit, we will enjoy this, we will imbibe the same enjoying spirit without a doubt. There's no doubt. Therefore, Vaishnavas are very strict about controlling the tongue and only eating that which is first offered to Krishna. Of course, there are situations where one might be traveling and it's an emergency situation, and in order to keep our service going and to keep the body going, we may need to eat something which is perhaps even cooked by karmis, but of course vegetarian. Srila Prabhupada describes this as drabya mulyena sudati, that in an emergency situation one can eat vegetarian food which has been cooked by non-devotees, and then drabya mulyena sudati, sudati, it becomes purified if you pay for it. He explains it like this, that by paying for that foodstuff, that vegetarian food, you purify it. Drabya mulyena sudati, sudati means it purified. But he clearly explains this is an emergency situation. It's not that you wake up in Mayapur and eat Kellogg's cornflakes breakfast for every day. It is simply nonsense. It is absolutely nonsense to eat karmi cooked grains in the holy dham or in any dham or by any initiated devotee except in an emergency. So why am I saying that? Because it makes a huge difference if you're trying to control your tongue. If you take only Krishna prasadam, the tongue, the mind, the belly, the genitals, everything becomes so much easier to control. And as soon as we take food which is touched by non-devotees, and especially sinful people, then we become contaminated. But there is the emergency situation where Krishna will purify that food. So, Vachu Vegam, Manasa Prada Vegam, Manasa, then to control the mind. Once the tongue is controlled, it becomes a lot easier to control the mind. Why? Because pure Krishna Prasadam has an effect on the mind. It makes Krishna go into the mind. When we eat contaminated food, what goes into the mind? The enjoying spirit of the karmis who cook the food. That's what goes into the food. That's what goes into the mind. And then when your mind starts becoming agitated by materialistic enjoying spirit, the mind becomes difficult to control. Vacha vegam, manasa, and then manasa, krata vegam, krata, then the mind starts meditating on some sense gratification, and when the mind can't get some sense gratification, krata vegam, the mind becomes angry. Vacha vegam, manasa krata vegam, etam vegam yoga vishaheta dhirat. A person who can control all these urges of the senses, he can conquer the world. Therefore, it is described that the brahmacharyas, they live a life of, is called udvareta. Udvareta. Udvareta means the life energies that are there within the body are lifted up. They're lifted up to the brain. They lifted up. Udva Reta means to lift up the energies within the body, particularly the sexual energies. And when this is lifted up, Udva Reta, by controlling the tongue, only giving the tongue Krishna Prasadam, and only giving the tongue what it needs and not what it greeds, not too much and not too little. And then the energies in the body become udvareta. And then the mind is easier to control. The urges of the belly and the genitals is easy to control. So, and then we can realize that this bag of stool and urine is nothing but that. When the tongue, belly, mind, genitals is all uncontrolled, what happens to the living entity? The living entity gets dragged around by a bag of stool and urine. Now can you imagine? We have a rickshaw. And the rickshaw, voila, on his rickshaw he has stool and urine. It's full of stool and urine. He takes you, he puts you on the rickshaw, he chains you to the rickshaw, ties you up, doesn't let you go, and then he drags you all around Mayapur. That is the situation of the living entity who cannot control his tongue, belly, and genitals. He's simply getting dragged by a bag of stool and urine from one place to another. And he's even running after sense gratification. Forces for sense gratification are so strong. So there are many different levels of sense gratification. And then there is subtle sense gratification. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes it as profit, adoration and distinction. That taranga rangani. Taranga rangani means enjoying and delighting in the waves of material facilities. It is a subtle sense gratification. Someone is thinking, now I'm knowledgeable. Now I am a great devotee. Now I am very renounced. Now I'm a pure devotee. And I am better than any other devotee. and all the other devotees should come and worship me. This is the poison of subtle sense gratification of Taranga Rangani. In that state of mind, one cannot get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only merciful to those who follow the Trinadapi Sumichena principle, which is to think that one is lower than the straw on the street and more humble than the blade of grass, ready to offer all respects to others. So the problem is that once you get rid of gross sense gratification, subtle sense gratification is 100 times more difficult. And the subtle sense gratification can again drag you back to the gross sense gratification. So in this way, the living entity is caught up in identifying with a bag of stool and urine. The mood of this verse is that kindly help us to give us the power to execute bhakti yoga so that we can control our minds and restless minds and fix them upon you. So, what is the key for success? Srila Prabhupada explained the key for success, and it's very difficult. You know, spiritual life is very difficult. We have to practically do the impossible, which is to give up sense gratification. But the key to success is Guru Kripa Kevalam. That if somehow or other we can please the bona fide spiritual master, his Srila Prabhupada, if somehow or other we please our spiritual master, even the impossible becomes possible by his mercy. Only by the mercy of the spiritual master can one get the mercy of Krishna. So, what pleases Srila Prabhupada is preaching, purity, loyalty. When Srila Prabhupada sees that we are serving his mission, that we are following the process of bhakti yoga, that we are rising early, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, we're following the process that he has given us, we're also preaching on his behalf, doing whatever service that we can do within the Sankirtan movement, then Srila Prabhupada becomes pleased. And how does he become displeased? Is if we do the opposite. We should never give up trying to please the spiritual master. The mission of the spiritual master is our life and soul. Srila Prabhupada said that the secret of his success is that he made the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his life and soul. And because he pleased his spiritual master, he was empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, how do we attain the power to execute bhakti? By pleasing the spiritual master. And how can we destroy ourselves on the path of bhakti? Very easy. Guru aparad and Vaishnava aparad. Very easy to destroy yourself. So therefore, when approaching the spiritual master, we should be very, very careful. One should, Srila Prabhupada explains that if one thinks of himself anything other than a fool in front of his spiritual master, then a position, a high-class room position for that person has already been resolved in Patala Loka. That his position in hell is already guaranteed. If somebody thinks of himself anything other than a fool in front of the spiritual master, one should never think that he has any qualification in front of his spiritual master. This is the one of the most important aspects of spiritual life. We should always fall at the lotus feet of our spiritual master every day as a fool and begging for his mercy. Please empower me to execute devotional service on your behalf. I am nothing but a fool. I am fallen. I have no qualification. Please empower me. Please empower this, your worthless service. I am falling humbly at your lotus feet. So when we go to the spiritual master in such a humble way, then naturally he will bestow his mercy. But when we go to the spiritual master thinking that we're going to instruct him, think that we're going to show off in front of him, think that we're going to or to think that he's an ordinary man, it says that if somebody thinks that the body of the spiritual master is not made of chintamani, he also is a resident of hell. The spiritual master's body, it appears to be made of the elements of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, but actually the spiritual master's body is made of chintamani. It is a purely spiritual body, although it looks material. So, in the process of bhakti, how we approach the spiritual master is very important. And also, guru aparad and Vaishnava aparad. One should be very careful not to offend other Vaishnavas. Especially senior Vaishnavas. In Vaishnavism, there are those who are equal, there are those who are superior, and there are those who are junior. Now, when relating to a superior Vaishnava, it is as if relating to one's guru. Srila Prabhupada explained that, he said, I can criticize my godbrothers, he said, but you cannot. So, and there's another injunction that the godbrothers of the spiritual master should be seen as equal to the spiritual master, at least equally respected, but not worshipped, but respected. But one should be very careful not to offend anyone who's superior. You know, like, everyone has their superiors. Even a new devotee has their superiors. An old devotee, I have my superiors. And my superiors, I try to be careful how I relate to my superior Vaishnavas, either superior by initiation or superior by age or superior by advancement in devotional service. So Vaishnava aparad, we have to be very careful. So these are great impediments on the path of bhakti, because what happens, although we're trying to practice renunciation, we're cultivating knowledge, we're trying to become detached, we're trying to become attached to Krishna, we lose it all. We lose jnana, we lose vairag, and we become again attached to material life if we make that mistake. So, today is the Tirubhav of Lokanath Goswami, Srila Lokanath Goswami. So, I got carried away. I had some things to read. If anyone wants to hear about the glories of Srila Lokanath Goswami, please email me and I'll email you something very nice to read. How's that?
Free.
Free, yeah. Free. Did you read? Yes, it's free. So, it's a very nice description of his wonderful qualities. Sorry, I really overshot the class there. I was going to leave about 15 minutes to read from that. We need to finish by 8:45, and it's about 15 to 20 minutes description of his wonderful pastimes and how renounced he is, being one of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Lokanath Goswami. It's 8:45, so we'll stop here for some questions or comments. Gita Nagari, Prabhu. Gopa, Prabhu.
Thank you very much. It was a very, very, very nice class. It was a very, very, very nice and informative class. You mentioned all of these obstacles in our advancement in devotional service, and especially the tongue, which I fully agree with, but where are they all coming from? One should know that each and every one of us has an evil mistress who has been with us from birth, and that is Maya. And she knows us very well, and she is there to disturb our progress in spiritual advancement. And whatever it takes, she has something in her bag of tricks that she can inflict upon us to deter us from making advancement in spiritual life. Example is Bharat Maharaj, who had renounced everything, had kingdom, wealth, fame, beautiful family, wife, and what did she have in her bag of tricks to distract him from his rigid practice of worshipping Narayan? Compassion. And she flung compassion into his face, and as a result of that, he rescued that small newborn deer, not knowing that if that deer died by the laws of nature, that deer automatically would have been promoted to a higher form of life. But he took it upon himself. And here we have a group of people who are praying to be able to execute bhakti yoga. Finding one, says Bahunam Janmanamante Janakina Papajate Vasudevam Sarvamiti Sapahasura Dula. So even finding one person, but here there are many. And now here in ISKCON we have many, 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 many devotees who are on this path of self-realization. But they should always be wary that their constant companion is Maya. And with one hand, she is stroking your hair, saying everything will be nice. I will find you a nice husband or a nice wife. You will have beautiful children, or I will give you a position in the society and you will elevate yourself to where you'll get adoration from everybody. And you are very content with that. But with the other hand, which is broad, she is grabbing you by the neck and she is laughing behind your back, saying that I am going to keep you here in this material world.
Okay, so that's a good comment. Good point. Started out as a question, ended up as a comment, but and the gist of it is that as much as we're trying singly or in a group to try and become detached from Maya, Maya's always got some trick or some way of allurement of deviating us from the service of Krishna. There's one place where Srila Prabhupada says that as you become more advanced in devotional service, Maya will step up her deviations as well. So how do we do that? Again, here we can only do it by... there's a saying that an idle brain is a devil's workshop. So if one has a very full engagement in devotional service, then there's less chance that Maya will get us. It's so important to be engaged, fully engaged, like 26 hours a day engaged. And then there's no time for Maya. So that's the only one suggestion that I can make, is that when Maya gets tricky, also to confide in other devotees, other advanced devotees, if one is experiencing some difficulty, confide in devotees who are not having the same problem. That also helps sadhu sangha. So you have to pray for, in that way, try to mana maya durateya, Krishna says, very difficult to overcome. Durateya, very difficult. Gita Nagari Prabhu, you had a question?
I just want to verify something that was told to me very early in my devotional career, but I've never read it anywhere in Prabhupada's books. And I just want to see if it's a truism or not. And that is that when you're traveling, dairy products can never be contaminated even if they're prepared by karmis. For example, yogurt, butter, rennetless cheeses, milk, like that, they're not contaminated by karmis preparing them. It's only the grains that are contaminated. So I was told that very early on in my devotional career, and I want to know if it's true or not.
So his question is, non-grain dairy products, which is under that category of non-grains, essentially. What did Srila Prabhupada say about that? We would have to go to, but there is one principle that, we're talking about traveling. And there's two categories here. One is the emergency situation, and the other is the normal situation. So the if we refer to the emergency situation, then provided it doesn't have meat in it, the Dravya Mulyana Sudati, Prabhupada specifically mentions in the emergency situation, vegetarian food. Now, if the cheese has got animal rennet in it, you cannot take it. We have to make sure that it doesn't have animal rennet in it. And because I know that that's the emergency standard. Now the normal standard, should we eat these foodstuffs normally? No. Because the standard, if we really want to control our tongues, the normal standard, the general standard, not the emergency standard, should be that we only eat that which is offerable to the deities. Now for example, Janani Vas Prabhu, he can confirm it, is that the vegetarian kami cooked cheese, is that offerable to the deities here? Sorry? If it's homemade, but if it's cooked outside, like, cheddar, one of those kami brands, but vegetarian. My understanding is that if it's cooked outside by non-devotees, it's not offerable to the deities. So anyway, each individual devotee has to control his senses, and there are the emergency situations now. So getting back to his question, what did Srila Prabhupada say about dairy products? No, but the same applies to grains when you're traveling. Yeah, and it's because grains is where you get cardamom. Yes. Yeah. that what is contaminated?
When I was instructed that very early on in my Christian consciousness, I can remember having meals of sour cream. You know, that's not true.
Well, there is one reference that comes to my mind after compiling Shikshamrita, where Prabhupada actually forbid us to take sour cream. I can send you the reference on that. There is a reason for that, and I think there's some, you know, when I researched it, that some other devotees had researched that informed Srila Prabhupada that within this sour cream they're putting some non-vegetarian ingredient. See, once the non-devotees put their finger in the pie, so to speak, you got no idea what they can put in there. Just like practically every kind of chocolate is made with crushed beetles, the gelatin. You know, the gelatin on the chocolate is made with crushed beetles. It's pure meat, and even they use this gelatin on jelly beans. It's all meat. It's disguised meat. Most of these E numbers are meat. So this all comes under the category of controlling the tongue. It's so important. And here in Mayapur, we're blessed because we have the Mayapur shop, and they're making beautiful, homemade devotional ice creams with no chemical ingredients, all nice pure ingredients. They made some mozzarella cheese. Very beautiful cheese, and not touched by the kamis, no kami ingredients. So the solution is that we should become expert at cooking and expert at preparing all these nice foodstuffs so that devotees can relish it. Yes, Prabhu. True. In the Western countries, there is no alternative but to buy the milk, which has been produced by non-devotees, but it's non-grains. And so long as they don't put any meat in it, then it's acceptable. That's the main criteria. There are some supermarkets, they used to put fish oil in the milk. But they no longer do that because all the vegetarians protested about it. Yeah. So fortunately there are a lot of good choices in the supermarkets now where you can get, you know, relatively quite pure milk. So here in Mayapur we want to, in the ISKCON World Headquarters, have a whole range of pure, unadulterated foodstuffs so that the devotees don't need to take refuge in anything that's cooked by a non-devotee. So the endeavors by the devotees to make alternatively prepared very nice prasadam is very much welcome and very much needed. So I think we have to finish there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raja Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gopinandi.